Hey, y'all, we're here with Ben and Brevin from Yotuma. If you don't know them, they're a groovy ass death metal band out of Wisconsin.
Yep,
Fucking
Madison.
cheeseheads.
Yep.
Was kind of bummed you guys didn't bring any Spotted Cow down when you fucking played indie last weekend.
Oh yeah, the dudes in One Body Six Graves I think wanted us to, but we forgot on the way back down. But that's what everybody says when we play out of state shows. You
Yeah.
can't get it anywhere else. So
Yeah, there was a story probably 4 or 5 years ago of someone that was buying it and taking it somewhere else and trying to sell it, and they fucking found out and sued him and shit.
oh damn. Oh, I didn't hear about that. That's fucking
Yeah.
wild.
They're really uptight about that for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's a couple of things, right? Like they only have so much capacity to actually brew so much beer, and if it goes out, right? The one thing is they might not be able to handle the capacity, and on the flip side, like they're like, it's mine, it's all mine, my precious, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's really good, so I mean that's fair, you know.
For sure. For sure. So I don't know a lot about Yotuma. Right, like I was digging into you guys because of the Illusion of Fate guys, and I dig the tunes. How did the band start?
Well, basically, I guess if you want to go way back, I was just kind of writing material kind of on my own, like in high school and stuff, and I was just like, oh, maybe I'll do something with it one day, we'll see. And then like COVID happened and I was just going super stir crazy with all this material, and I was just like, man, I just, you know, I want to like form a band and like perform this shit, you know what I mean? And then I met Ella, our bass player, first. We were jamming with a different drummer at the time, and that didn't end up working out. But then we had a mutual friend who ended up being our first drummer. And then we found Ryan, I think, through Craigslist as well. And then we kind of just started getting together and jamming. And we wrote like our first EP, Age of Acrimony. I consider it more of like a demo because like we recorded the whole thing in our basement with like minimal mics. We recorded like all the rhythm guitars and drums in like one fucking day, you know, and it was just super rough. So, but you know, I mean, it is what it is, you know. It's where we started, and you know, it's cool to look back at that and like where we are now as far as like quality and songwriting goes and stuff. But yeah, and then our original drummer ended up going to Berkeley, actually. So then after that, we found Brevin, because his girlfriend
At a
had
bar.
yeah, for like her whole life. So yeah, just basically as soon as quarantine lifted, we just kind of tried to gig as much as possible, make up for all the time, you know. We were just cooped up inside, you know, not able to play shows. Yeah, and just trying to stay busy as much as we can, gig out of state. And then yeah, we recorded our second EP. Like I consider it our first, because you know, the first one is more like a demo to me. Otherworldly Incarnate. Released that almost a year ago. I believe we released it like April 1st, I believe, on in 2023. And yeah, ever since then, like we're still kind of writing material that we're gonna be demoing pretty soon. We've started to play a few of the songs live. I'm pretty stoked on the new stuff. It's a little more like meticulous. I don't want to say, you know, technical, because I don't want to give people the impression we're going for like a tech death kind of thing, you know. No, we're just kind of exploring how dynamic, I guess, we can get like with our song structures and stuff like that, and kind of how we can make the tension and release, you know what I mean, and kind of perfecting that. And because that's what I've noticed like crowds respond to the most, you know what I mean, is when there's a lot of different parts and they all flow together, you know, really nicely and stuff. So
Yeah.
yeah, that's what we've been focusing on now. And yeah, just basically staying as busy as we can. Obviously we had those two little, I'm not gonna call it a tour, because there was a week in between, you know, they're like weekend warrior
Yeah.
shit, you know what I mean, with Illusion of Fate. And that's been a long time coming. Like those boys have been our day one homies. They played our first show ever with us, actually. So we've been meaning to set up a run with them for fucking ever. And you know, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. Well, half of that band is in Casket Robbery, if you're familiar with them. And they're, you know, they're super busy, you know what I mean? So it's hard to find a time where they can go out on the road, you know, because Brian and Austin are usually busy with Casket stuff.
Yeah.
We finally made it work, and I'm really glad we did. Definitely some of the best shows we ever played, especially that Black Circle one. But I'm so bummed that they had to cut it short, man. I was so looking forward to seeing Deterioration, man.
Yeah, well, and Redivider is really fucking good too. Like they're from Louisville, where I live, and they're like, everyone's like, dude, you got to go fucking see them. So I was super excited to see them too, and it was like, most of the bands kicked so much fucking ass.
Oh yeah.
And the crowd was super reactive. It was fantastic.
Yeah, most definitely. But at least I got to catch like half of One Body Six Graves set.
Because
like somebody ran into a fucking light pole, I think, in the middle of their set.
No, in the middle of your set.
Oh well, I think that was just a breaker or something. Is that what that was? Or is that when it happened?
That's when it happened.
A while for it to actually shut
so,
down.
Yeah, or? They hit the pole when you guys were on stage, because I mean, you guys remember, right? Power goes out.
Yeah.
And,
oh, of course. Yeah.
And fucking Jay does his Alex Terrible impression.
Yeah.
And, then like, I think it was like emergency power kicked on to keep everything going.
That makes sense. Okay.
And then when they figured it out, they shut everything back down.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot more sense. Yeah. That was a first for us, but you know, you just kind of got to roll with the punches, man. You know, unexpected shit happens like that. But
for sure, it makes for a really cool fucking story, though. You know, like,
I mean, kind of a shitty one. I really wanted to see Deterioration, but we'll have to catch those guys again someday. But yeah, man. But
for
I felt
sure.
really bad because I feel like I think they drove out from Minneapolis just for that show. I don't think they were on like a run or something like that. You know, I think it was like a one-off for them, you know, and it's just like, imagine you drive all that fucking way and you don't get to play. I'm sure they still got paid, you know what I mean? But, but.
Yeah, I would hope so, because I mean, they didn't refund any fucking ticket sales or bar sales or anything.
Yeah, they were talking about doing like a early matinee show on like Sunday to make up for it and just have those three bands, but I don't know if that ended up happening or not. I don't think it did.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I didn't hear anything about it.
Okay. Yeah, our homie Les, who works at Black Circle, was telling us that, but he was like, I don't know if they're following through with it or not, but I don't think they did. But
so Black Circle on Sundays typically do like early shows.
Yeah.
And it fucked me up. I was going to see Extinction AD. They did like 2 weeks out the FTA and back to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and caught them like four fucking dates, and one of those dates, the last one, was at Black Circle, and I'm at brunch with my family, you know, just we're like hanging out, drinking, fucking eating, and
yeah.
I look and I'm like, oh shit, it says the show starts at 4 o'clock, like,
yeah.
I gotta fucking go. And my wife's like, where are the your show is until later. I'm like, no, 4 o'clock, I gotta fucking go now.
Yeah damn, that sucks, man. Yeah, I guess I don't know what the logic of that is. I guess like they're just afraid people are going to, you know, leave because they have work early the next day or something. Like, I'm all for an early show, but like, I don't know, not at 2 p.m. You
yeah.
know what I mean? I couldn't make that work.
Yeah,
but.
It's fuck. Well, for me, it's a fucking 2 hour drive. So I was like, I got to hit the thing. But even 4 o'clock is not, it's not terrible. Just weird.
Sure. I think we might be playing a matinee show. At Black Circle on our upcoming tour we have with Via Aggression. That's like the last day of it. The show's not announced yet. Like I don't know if I can say the lineup or not, but it's really cool because there was another tour package that wanted that day too. And we just combined both of them.
Hell yeah.
Like a tour package and another one. So I'm really stoked for the lineup, but it's like five bands. So I don't know if they're doing an early show for that or not, but Dustin was saying like, oh, we might push it back a little bit just because it's a lot of bands. It's hard to do an early show with like, you know, more than four bands, you know what
yeah.
I mean? We'll see. I love that venue though. It's fucking awesome. Always playing Circle.
Yeah, that place is cool as fuck. There's who else is there? Crowbar's there here in a couple of weeks.
Oh yeah. With like Morbid Visions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those dudes fucking rip, man. Hell yeah. I'm really stoked to see them get on that tour. For real. They definitely deserve it. So that's awesome.
For sure. Yeah. I always dig fucking Crowbar. Like I'm a long time fan of those guys.
For sure.
So what Brevin, you've been super quiet, so I'm going to ask you, what got you like playing music to begin with?
I grew up in a musical family. My dad's been a professional musician his whole life, playing rock music, and his father was a conductor and a music professor. My grandmother was a first chair violinist, and I don't know what symphonies, but she was good at violin. And so I started out at age 4 doing the very strict Suzuki violin program, like an hour lesson every day, get the slap on the wrist if you played the wrong note. And so I did that until I was like 11 or 12 years old, quit violin. I hated it so much, just the way I was brought up playing it and forced to do it. I mean, my family is very loving. I love my grandparents, but they were way too strict on me with the violin. And so I stopped playing it. I hated it. And then I just found my own calling, the drums. Always had a drum set in my basement that I would just kind of play every now and then. And as soon as I was done playing violin, I just found myself playing drums, not because someone told me to, but because I like doing it. And then my biggest influence was Joey Jordison. I remember watching the Slipknot in the UK DVD from 2002 or 2001, something like that, and seeing Joey Jordison's drum solo. I thought, I want to do that. So that's what really inspired me. And I started as a teenager playing shows in cover bands with my dad, and then progressed to the metal scene.
Hell yeah. So at what point did you realize you wanted to be into super heavy stuff? Like how old were you?
I was probably, so like I said, I was about 12 when I discovered Slipknot, and I really enjoyed that music. And something that my guilty pleasure, I was a scene kid back in high school. I loved the old school Attack, the Asking Alexandria. And one of the biggest draws to me was I loved their online presence, where they post tour vlogs of them just doing stupid stuff on the road. And it's like, oh, I'd love to do that for a living. And so that kind of got me into the idea of just living in a van with some bros playing music all the time. And then I just kept getting in more extreme music, like Acacia Strain, and then getting into faster thrash stuff. And but yeah, by the end of high school, I was like, I want to play death metal. That's what I want to do out of high school, and that's what I've been trying to do since.
Hell yeah. All right. Who are some of your like favorite death metal bands right now?
Right now, I love Suffocation. I've loved them for a long time. I go in and out of listening to Exhumed. They're just always a fun one to fall back on when you have nothing else to listen to. Cattle Decapitation's been really awesome. 200 Stab Wounds, of course. I think I can't even think of the name of them right now. It's one of those things where when it pops up on my Spotify, I know the band because of their logo. I can't read their logo, but when I see their logo, it's like, I know that band.
Sanguisugabog,
they're great, but it's not that one. It's another one where it's just comically large logo they aren't supposed to read.
Okay.
But I can't think of the name right now.
That's fucking
like that.
For sure. Yeah, that's, you know,
great marketing.
I actually saw a meme today. It was like this dude with a big big thing, and it was like, when you can read all the death metal logos.
Yeah, I've seen that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Funny shit. So Ben, what about you? What at what point, you know, were you like, oh, I want to play fucking super heavy shit?
Sure. Well, I guess my kind of upbringing was a lot similar to Brevin's in the way that I was actually, my first instrument was violin as well, actually Suzuki Method, but a little less strict, I guess. Yeah, I was kind of, you know, my parents were like, oh, you need to learn an instrument, you know what I mean? And so I picked that up like when I was about 8 years old, played it until I was like, I think 12 or 13. And my dad had been playing in bands and stuff ever since I was a little kid, you know, taking me out to shows and stuff. One of the most memorable shows I went to with him was seeing Jakey Lee at like this tiny little dive bar in like Janesville. And then just seeing that, just being mesmerized by that, I was like, damn. And you know, I started playing a shit ton of Guitar Hero, of course. You know, that's how a lot of people get into playing guitar. And I guess first time I like heard Slayer, I was just like, that was a real like sharp left turn for me. I was like, you know, I was just, ever since then, I was like pushing the envelope, you know, of heavier and heavier shit to listen to. And I don't know, I go through phases of, you know, like, oh, I'm really into doom metal, really into thrash metal. Testament was another really big one for me, just because of Eric Peterson's riffs, you know, just the fucking shit. He's just a fucking powerhouse. And then
what a fucking what a badass rhythm player he is, dude.
Oh yeah, it's like really underrated, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then that kind of evolved into like Lamb of God type stuff. And I, you know, I always kind of had a soft spot for like bands like High on Fire, you know, kind of more doomy kind of stuff. And I saw High on Fire on tour one time when they played the Metro in Chicago, and Creeping Death opened for them. And I had never heard of them before at all. And then like, you know, I showed up, I think I saw like half of their set, and I was just like, Jesus fucking Christ, like, who are these guys? You know what I mean? Then I just really got into like the new wave of like death metal bands that have kind of the old school revival kind of sound, you know. But Creeping Death was the one that like first kind of, you know, made me go down the rabbit hole, you know what I mean, and just get into more extreme shit. And you know, yeah, I still listen to them all the time. But definitely like Suffocation for sure is up there for me too. Skeletal Remains all day, dude, like seriously, like the tightest band ever. You know, bands like Stabbing, Analepsy, stuff like that, just kind of all across the board, you know. And I kind of try to pull from all of those different subgenres and kind of, you know, I'm not trying to say like we're doing anything unique, you know, we're just taking our favorite parts of these bands that like we all love and just kind of putting them into one big pot, you know.
Well, almost honestly, almost no one's doing anything unique anymore. It's exactly. Really, you know, it's really fucking hard. It's hard to find something so unique. I'll give it to you guys, right? Because you guys have such a fucking groove to the music that it really stands out against other bands. Because some of those bands are just chug, 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 you know, the whole fucking time.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you saying that, man, because that's definitely what we're going for. Like, there's so many bands that are just trying to be as brutal as possible. I'm like, you know, I'm here for it, you know, like I enjoy it, but it's just like, once you reach the ceiling of how fucking heavy you can be, it's like, where are you going to go? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know. I like to make shit that's interesting, you know, that people can move to, you know what I mean? I don't know. I try to make it a little, I don't know, not so self-indulgent, I guess, but not to say I don't.
Yeah, there's a fest we play down in Texas where it was a lot of bands on the bill, and all the bands are great musicians and everything. It was a very chuggy slam fest. And it's like the first two bands, when I heard them play, I was like, damn, they're so heavy. I wish we had a couple more songs that sounded like this. It was great. And then band after band, like you're the fifth band in, and it's just, you get a little tired of the slam riffs. You're like, all right, I'm glad we have a couple of groove parts in our set now.
Yeah.
You can only listen to it for so long, you know what I mean? But I think that shit's cool. Like, I'm not talking shit at all. It's just, that's not the band like I want to be. You know, I still listen to bands like that all the time, you know?
Sure.
I mean? So I couldn't go on tour and play that material every day myself, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not for everyone though, right? Like, that's the beauty of everyone having their own, you know, their own band and their own vision. You know, you can leave the internal bleeding stuff to internal bleeding, you know, and then, you know, let Skeletal Remains do them and just go, oh man, I really dig that part and how they fucking progressed this way with these drums, and okay, let's pull it together and make something really fucking happen, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what it's all about. Oh yeah.
For sure. So, Otherworldly Incarnate, obviously, like your first release, I think you were saying, Ben. what brought on like the artwork, and what made you say, okay, this is what we're gonna name it?
Well, I kind of just stumbled upon this artist on Instagram. His Instagram is the Black Catalog, if you want to look into it. But he just had this really, it just popped up in my feed one day, and it just really had this unique kind of aesthetic to it that I just really vibed with. And I've always been fascinated with like ancient civilizations and stuff like that, and I was like really wanted to incorporate that like thematically and like in our band and stuff. So I was just like, this is the guy to get the imagery down for sure. And he, I kind of presented him with like kind of a cobbled together Photoshop kind of like I wanted, and he just knocked it out of the park. I didn't ask him to change anything with the album art and stuff. Like, he just fucking nailed it. As far as the album title goes, I was kind of just playing off like the lyrical themes that our previous vocalist Ryan was kind of working with. Like, the whole album is kind of like a concept album, like the storyline he created of like typical kind of like summoning demons type shit, you know what I mean? But like, I was trying to do it in a more unique way, not so typical, you know what I mean? I like that he left his lyrical themes kind of ambiguous and kind of up to for interpretation, you know
Yeah.
what I mean? Like, I really think too many bands are like really just straight to the point about what the song is about, you know what I mean? But I think it's cool when the lyrical themes are a little more ambiguous and kind of like everybody can have their own kind of take on what it is. You get the general idea, but the specifics are kind of like up to you. You know
Well,
what I mean?
that's where I think a lot of the conversations go with I'm a little bit older than you guys, and it was very as you say, right, ambiguous. Growing up, people weren't straight to the point, so you can interpret it however the fuck you wanted to interpret it, you know?
Yeah, and I think that shit's really cool. Most definitely. You know what I mean? Just like, there's not just one way to look at something, you know what I mean? And I want
Yeah.
everybody to experience the music differently,
Hell yeah. So, Jay, is he the new guy, or was he just for the run?
Well, we're feeling it out with a few people for the vocalist position. Like, I really, we've been homies with Jay for a long time. We played with his band. He's still in Cast and Fire. Really, really, really good band. Like, seriously, check him out. Highly recommend. More like kind of Lamb of God style. But as soon as we unexpectedly had to part ways with our with Ryan and stuff, he was the first guy that came to mind, as far as stage presence goes. And like, he's a professional. He helps load in gear all the time, which I was like, a vocalist loading gear? Oh my God, I've never seen that before. But he's just a professional. He's cool to be around, and I think that's the number one thing that gets overlooked, I think, when bands are trying people out. It's like, can you hang out with them for like 2 weeks to a month, if you had to, you know what I mean? Would you guys get sick of each other? Or would you guys just be having a great time the whole time? You know what I mean? And I was just like, yeah, Jay's the fucking man. He rules. So we're kind of just doing some runs with him, and another guy, and just kind of seeing like how they are on the road. You know what I mean? Because people are totally different after being on tour for like a week. You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
if a person has like a shitty attitude, that drags the whole band down. You know what I mean? And you can't have that. But
Yeah.
I don't think Jay's. He's been doing a great, like, phenomenal. Seriously, just knocking it out of the park. He got sick over that past weekend, actually, where we played at Black Circle Indie, and then we were opening up for Fuming Mouth yesterday. And I was like, oh dude, like, do you want me to find somebody to fill in? And like, we weren't able to, but he just still just powered through and did it, you know what I mean? And I'm just
Hell
like,
yeah.
that's the kind of attitude we're looking for, you know what I mean? But yeah, I was like, dude, we can't cancel the show. Like, Fuming Mouth is one of my favorite bands. Like, I've been listening to them since like high school and shit. They're a big influence like on my writing style, like the kind of metallic hardcore kind of shit meeting like the death metal stuff
Yeah.
that they combine. I was like, that's what I want to do, you know what I mean? So I was like, there's no way I'm dropping the show. Like, we'll play
Right.
instrumentally if we have to, you know what I mean? But yeah, he powered through. So yeah, he's an excellent front man for
Hell
sure.
yeah. Yeah, he did really good at Black Circle. I was impressed, and frankly, I was impressed with every band that played that night. Well, almost every band that played that night. There's one. I'm not even going to say where in the lineup they were, but I was like, no.
Yeah. I mean, there are some pretty meathead fucking bands, but I love that shit. I
yeah.
love death, you know what I mean? I don't know, just everybody's stage presence was just fucking amazing. Every band there, like, knew how to command a crowd, you know, in my opinion, at least. But yeah, I know the crowd would have gone insane for fucking Deterioration. I was gonna be in that pit, fucking shit up. But
well, those little fucking kids, dude, that were like what, 8 or 9 or whatever, they were just tearing it up.
Oh yeah, they were pulling. You know, that's how some shows go. You know what I mean? But that's cool to see for sure. Rather than a bunch of old guys just standing there with their arms crossed, just staring at you. You know, like,
yeah.
It's boring, you know.
I was.
It's also really nice to be where it's raw. Like, there's so many fests you go to where there's like 10 to 20 bands playing, and there's bound to be a few of those bands where it's like 60% of what they're doing is backing tracks, or, you know, they got the guitar track when they should have two guitar players. The one guitar player they do have is doing the rhythm part, not the lead. And that stuff kind of gets on my nerves, but it was nice to have a fest where every band is actually bringing it raw. And what you're hearing is the full band and their full emotion being put into it.
I'll tell you, I've never had that experience where like a majority or even half of the bands are doing backing tracks like that. Like, most everyone that I've seen, and you know, my experience have all been like live shit. Do they have some backing tracks? Absolutely. But I would say like small percentage, like the intro, right? And there might be a segue between songs or something in the middle, but
yeah,
that's the beauty of death metal, is you don't see it often in death metal.
Yeah, you do occasionally, and it just feels like you're kind of listening to a recording. It doesn't feel like you're listening to a band, you know. Like, I feel like you need the stage volume. You know, I'm not a digital guy, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that there's not a purpose for it. It's just way harder for the sound guy to pull it off and make it sound like it's an organic, you know, like tube amp on stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's way easier to just have a fucking half stack and just crank it to fucking 11, you know, on stage. That's my philosophy. It's dumb, it's simple, but, you know, it works every time. It's consistent. You know what I mean?
Dumb and simple works, you know, like,
yeah,
there's
exactly. And if the sound guy won't turn you up in the monitors, well, you got that volume knob right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can be your own sound guy. The way I look at it. So yeah.
I'll fucking outcrank everyone. Fuck you, I got this.
Yeah, I'm old school like that. What can I say? But
no, I get it. I get it. We've played with some pretty shitty fucking systems.
Yeah, you gotta adapt night by night. You know, you never know what you're dealing with sometimes, but you know, you make it work.
Yeah, for sure. So that run that you guys are that you were just talking about, Ben, ending at Black Circle, when about is that?
So that is going to be starting like late May, like right after Milwaukee Metal Fest, because Bioaggression is playing that. And yeah, I can give you the exact date if you want. I'll just have to pull it up. But yeah, I'm so stoked to be going on the road with those guys. Like, they've been a band like since the late 80s. Like, they toured with Death and stuff like back in the day, and then they kind of had a bit of a hiatus, and then they came back.
Yeah.
Recently. Yeah, just been a really big fan of them for a couple of years, and then they reached out to us about doing a run. I was like, dude, like, fuck yeah, like,
hell yeah.
But it's starting on May 24th. That's a Friday. It's starting in Minneapolis, or no, St. Paul. Same difference.
Yeah.
And then
fucking Twin Cities.
Right. And then we're looping over and down to like Colorado, going south through Texas. I think we have like 5 or 6 shows in Texas. Then we're coming back up, and we're hitting Louisville, Little Rock. Yeah, we Magbar, I think, is the venue for Louisville.
Cool.
So, and I've heard really good things about that spot, so I'm stoked to check it out.
Yeah, probably from Austin and Brian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They played.
Yeah. That's actually so. I met Austin at Magbar when Casket Robbery was on tour with the Convalescents.
Oh no shit. Oh,
yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I've heard really good things about that spot. Like, that's kind of an area we've kind of neglected so far. You know what I mean? And Yeah, all the bands on all the shows, like all the locals are fucking sick too. Like there's not one local where I like don't fuck with their music and they're just filler, you know what I mean? So I'm just really stoked to just meet new homies, you know what I mean?
For
It's just
sure. Well, I'd be interested to know who's playing the Louisville show with you guys.
I believe it's Execution and one other band. I can find it, but I know Execution is one of them. They used to be called 10 Years Buried. And I think they recently changed their name. I'll have to check on that other one, but they're both fucking sick.
Okay. I know
Yeah.
we've got some, I'll say for Louisville, it's we've got some fucking killer talent here.
Yeah. Well, fucking Gates to Hell, right? Aren't they from
Yeah.
Louisville? Hell yeah. I've still
Yeah.
never seen them, but they're fucking great.
They're great. Yeah. And Volcandra.
Oh yeah, I've seen them before. Yeah,
Yeah.
they're really fucking nice dudes too. Super chill.
For
They
sure.
were on tour with Toxic Ruin and they played just across the street from me at Crucible. So I was like, I have no excuse not to go to this, and I'm glad I did. They're fucking sick. So
Yeah, and their new album is fucking phenomenal.
yeah, I have to check it out still, but yeah, I've heard good things.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking fantastic. Like it's each one of their albums has changed just a little bit, and it's the Way of the Ancients is a little less black metal and more into like metal, like a blackened mellow death,
Sure.
which
Sure.
is.
Yeah, they have a really cool blend of influences for sure.
Yeah, that's the
Definitely.
fucking, and they're fantastic musicians too.
Oh yeah. Super fucking super tight. Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I'll have to talk. I think that'll be a good show. So Magbar, typically their shows are, with the right talent, the right local talent, those fucking shows will pack out. I mean, it doesn't hold a lot of people, but you fucking get in there, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah, that seems like the spot for Louisville. Like I see a lot of tour flyers, and when they're run through Louisville, it's usually Magbar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was just like, oh, let's try this out. So, I think it's like a Friday. I could be wrong, but it
Okay.
should be like a. It's not like a middle of the week show. I think it's like a Thursday or Friday. So,
Yeah, that'll be good. I
I'm really, yeah.
got a buddy with a record label. I'll have him fucking come out too.
Oh no shit!
Yeah.
What label?
Sweet.
Third House Communications.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard of him, but yeah, fucking bring him, man. Hell yeah.
No, he like so he did it years ago and decided he wanted to do it again. So now he started, I think he's got two, he's released two so far. They've got two pre-orders going, and there's, I don't know, maybe another 15 or 16 scheduled to, get rolling over the next year. So
Awesome. Oh yeah. What's up?
yeah, he's a good dude. Yeah, that'll be a good show. We'll fucking, I'll spread the word. I'll get some of the dudes here. Actually, due to death in the Midwest, there was quite a few Louisville people that were up there. I was surprised.
Yeah, well, I guess it's not too far.
No.
You know what I mean? So yeah, it seems like the indie and the Louisville scene are kind of like, I don't know, a lot of the bands are playing in each other's cities like all the time and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Which
Yeah,
is,
'cause it's really an easy trip right up and down 65.
yeah.
You're like 2 hours away, so even after the show it's like, yeah, I can just fucking drive home. I'm good.
Right. We kind of have that with like Illinois and Minnesota just a little bit, you know, because
Yeah.
they're like our neighbors and stuff. Some people like almost think we're like a Minnesota band. You know what I mean? It's like weird we have draw there, you know, because we've only played there like a few times. We're like, oh, I don't know. It's always cool to see people come out to see you and they're not even from your hometown. You know what I mean? That's
Yeah.
always cool. Like, yeah. And they like know, some of them know like our lyrics and shit, and they're like shouting them at us. They got like bootleg like patches with our logo on them and shit. I'm just like, dude, fuck yeah, that's awesome. You know, like
Like,
it's a
but
little
pay
surreal.
me, motherfucker. Pay
Yeah,
me.
exactly.
Guess that means you got to get some fucking patches going.
We did finally, after I saw like fucking 10 bootleg patches out in the wild, I was like, all right, we got to get on this. And you know, but it's always like surreal to see something like that for the first time, you know, but
Yeah.
definitely cool.
Yeah. Well, and also, right? Like when you start hearing, oh, people are actually talking about us. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, right, exactly. It's fucking cool.
So, you said you're writing new material for the next release?
Yeah, so I have about five songs demoed right now. We're playing two of them live. I've just been writing lyrics for them because we don't know who is going to be the vocalist yet, you know. So I've been, doing my best. But, I feel like I have the cadence kind of down with the riffs, you know what I mean? And working through it and stuff. But yeah, we're just looking to kind of do like five or six songs, demo it, and, see what opportunities come our way, and, just keep playing and playing out as much as we can. We're not like in a hurry to release it or anything because it hasn't been like even a year since our like last EP.
Damn near.
Almost. But yeah, I really want to though. I'm really eager to release this shit because it's, in my opinion, like way better. It's more fun for you to play. Like I said, it's a little more meticulous, but a lot more dynamic too, I would say. Definitely pulling a lot of influences from like Skeletor Remains, Analepsy shit. I mean, a little bit of Stab Wounds too, and just kind of, doing our take on it basically. And yeah, really, really fun playing these songs live. Like the crowd response to them has been fucking great every time. So stoked to put more of them in the set slowly as we get them out. So
Yeah, you guys had a really good response at Black Circle. You know, everyone was really into you, so that was really cool. Illusion of Fate did really well too. I'd never seen them live.
yeah, no, they're
yeah, they
really
got an album coming out next week, right? Or is
no
it
something
May?
like, I think in May.
Or
Yeah, Portal
May?
Secure.
Oh, it's all the way in May. It's coming out. Okay.
May
So they're
10th.
kind of
Ooh.
planning it around Milwaukee Metal Fest.
Yeah, they'll release it on the
We're lucky.
10th.
We've already heard it.
Yeah. Hayden's like sending me all the songs, like, do you think this is good, man? Like, do you think, like, be real, be real. I'm like, yeah, it's good, Hayden. You're fucking amazing.
No, it all sucks, dude. Start over. Scrap it. He'd be like, damn it, you motherfucker.
Oh, Hayden's actually my guitar teacher, so I can't talk shit on him.
Oh, hell yeah, you can.
Yeah, he'll start charging me more for lessons, so
You're already paying him, I'm sure. So, talk shit. Talk shit. Have fun.
Yeah, no, he's a fucking phenomenal guitarist. Like, seriously, just watching him play like makes me want to practice like
Yeah.
all the time. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah, and Austin's a badass behind that kit, dude.
oh yeah, most
I'm
definitely. He's awesome.
like, I used to say, yeah, I could play drums. Fuck, no, I can't. Like, Jesus Christ.
Not the way he does, man.
That's what I think when I see him play. He was giving me some heel toe lessons while we were out on the road with him. And I'm like showing him how I'm just starting to get the technique down. He's like, oh yeah, that's good. You just gotta like lower the motion a little bit. He starts doing it perfectly. I'm like, ah, God damn, he's good.
Dick, don't show me up already. I'm just trying to learn still. Yeah, that's cool though, because Austin's one of those dudes that he'll sit there and have that conversation. He wants to learn and he wants to teach, which is really fucking cool.
Yeah, he's super down to earth and just willing to show you. I mean, everybody in that band is, you know.
Yeah.
We ask him for advice all the time and vice versa. And yeah, it's really cool when you can, share that with another band, you know what I mean?
Yeah, everyone
Yeah.
coming up together really fucking, it really helps because you end up being like a support system for each other.
A lot of bands are like, no, I'm not going to give you my venue contacts. Like, those are for me. I'm just like, why? Why fucking not, dude? Like, you don't want the bands around you to like do good? Like, if everybody else around you in the scene is doing good, like you kind of are too, because now you have more bands to tour with. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? And also, like, why would you not want other people to succeed? It's kind of a shitty mentality. You know what I mean? But it's more common than you'd think, you know?
Well, and it is on the lower levels when you look at the larger bands, like talking to those guys, like Kerry King, super supportive of all the other bands that he's associated with, right, or that he has friends in, and vice versa. So it's cool to hear the stories from some of those guys, like when Kerry King's band first announced, right, that they were like playing. Who was I talking to? I was talking to someone and they're like, oh dude, I was texting with Kerry, like, dude, I played the last fucking show with Slayer and I get to play the first show where fucking Kerry King's band is coming back. How fucking cool is that?
Yeah. Always like the most successful musicians are always the most down to earth and just chill. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always like even yesterday, like, opening up from Fuming Mouth, I was like, oh man, like, what am I gonna say to these guys? Like, they're, you know, they're up here or whatever, you know what I mean? But they're just super like, oh dude, like, you fuck with our band? Fuck yeah, like, that's fucking awesome, you know? And it's like, they were stoked to see us too, you know, because it's like people that are like, they're confident with themselves, you know, they're secure, you know. It's like, yeah, all the wannabe lower tier bands, they're the ones who are, you know, they're the ones who have the egos, because it's like projection.
Well, and those bands don't, they generally don't go anywhere, right? Because it, at the end of the day, what really needs to happen is everyone needs to support each other, right? Go out to the shows, and you try to give tips and exchange contacts to fucking maybe your, you know, a club or whatever that is. Cause when everyone, or when one person or band is successful and they're passing that on to other bands, all it does is cross, yeah, I'm going to say cross pollinate, right?
Yeah.
God, that's a stupid story. So you fucking need it. And the more supportive everyone is of each other, the more successful the whole community is.
Most definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's what I enjoy most. You know what I mean? Is just like seeing the other band sets, you know, like, it's cool for us to play, you know, like, I love that too, but it's just like, I don't know. I love being a fan of the bands we play with too, you know.
Yeah.
No better feeling than, you know, playing a show with a band that you really fuck with, and then they fuck with your band. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know, some validating shit, you know.
For sure.
So yeah. No, that's what it's all about. You know? So.
So, I guess, yeah, over the next year for Yotuma, what's the plan? What's the goal?
Basically, just keep doing what we're doing. Basically, just keep grinding. Kind of you know, tour around the Midwest circuit, just kind of run the Midwest circuit and just kind of slowly expand. You know, like, we did a couple bigger tours, like, out on the West Coast and the East Coast. The West Coast one was really, really fun, because we did it with Pyrexia and Embryonic Autopsy, and everybody in those bands are just like so cool to hang out with. So we had a great time out there. And then on the East Coast one, that was with Abolishment of Flesh, and same thing, like, great dudes, great time hanging out and shit like that. But we kind of realized doing those tours, like, you know, I think we're biting off a little more than we can chew right away, because it's like, okay, we just played in California, we just played in like Baltimore, like, when is the next time we're gonna be over here? You know what I mean? Like, not anytime soon, because that's all the fucking way on the coast. So it's just like, you know, I think we had this wrong strategy at first. You know, because it's like, in order to be known somewhere, you gotta tour through multiple times before people like remember you and they're like, oh, this fucking band, you know what I mean? So I think instead of having that strategy where we just go all the fucking way over here, you know, and don't go back for like a year or so or whatever, I think we're just gonna kind of hit up the Midwest kind of and South like more consistently, you know what I mean, and kind of just slowly expand that way.
Well, I think what a lot of smaller bands do is they focus on a region, and they fucking hammer that region as much as they can. And as they, you know, as their crowds grow and their fan base grows, some of those bigger bands are like, hey, why don't you fucking come out with us?
Yeah.
Right. Come out, do this. We'll take you to fucking Canada, or, you know, Joe's Garage or whatever the fuck else.
Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, no, I feel like, you know, I mean, the weekend warrior shit works too. I mean, it's like, we all have day jobs, you know, and it's just like, doing this shit is not fucking cheap. So we'll probably do like more smaller runs too, like, you know, 4 or 5 day runs, and just kind of just in little pockets of the country, and stuff like that. But no, I'm really looking forward to doing a proper 2 week tour with Bioaggression though. I was like, for a band like them, I'm like, I'm not just going to do a run, you know, we got to full send it, you know, and I don't know. I enjoy being on the road. A lot of people don't, but you know, I mean, once you get used to it, like, I don't know, it's pretty fun. You know what I mean? We're looking to get a bigger bus though, because we just use my shitty fucking 89 Chevy G10 right now for touring, and it gets a little cramped in there. You can't really stretch out in it. So I guess next step would be get a bus, you know, with bunks and shit, just to make touring a little more comfortable.
Yeah, slow down on the bus. That shit's expensive.
I mean, like, it's worth it, you know. And
it's a short bus, not like a full length diesel bus. Just nice little short Chevy bus that Ben rode to school back in the day.
Yeah, we get a short bus, ironically enough, but like it's practical. You know what I mean? We'll probably still use a trailer though. You know, just to, I don't know, make it as luxurious as possible. You know, as much space in there. So
yeah. I think Hemorrhage does that. They've got their bus that they take, and it's it was like a small like city transport bus.
Sure.
What are they doing? They're on tour right now. I want to see the inside of it because I'm interested to know how it's set up, because they pull up to a fucking venue, and instead of going in and playing as people are coming out, they're fucking in their bus playing. So it's like,
right. That's why I love watching a digital tour bus or whatever. Just seeing like everybody's take on, you know, I don't know. That shit's fascinating to me. Cause like I did the interior of our van. Like I did all the flooring and made the bunks and shit. Like I do construction like for my day job and stuff. So I'm like into that. But I always love to see like how people try and make it like as efficient as possible. I think my favorite digital tour bus episode I saw was like Eric Rutan, because he had like this Sprinter or whatever. And I don't know, just the way he organized it was like really smart. Like he didn't even need a trailer, just because he utilized the space for gear like efficiently and stuff. And yeah, same thing. He still has room in there to practice like on this little tiny little fucking combo amp. You know what I mean? But yeah, I don't know. I think that shit's cool. You know,
he's a fucking badass too.
Oh yeah, dude, fucking phenomenal guitar player and producer.
Yeah, and no fucking Sprinter anymore. He's on, you know, he's on the CC bus.
Yeah, he's got the full tour bus now with fucking drivers and shit.
That was, did you guys, did that tour come to you guys with Cannibal Corpse, Mayhem, Gore Guts, and Blood Incantation?
It was like Minneapolis and Chicago, and I think it was like a Tuesday and Wednesday that the shows were on, and I was just like, I've already taken so much PTO for touring and shit. I was like, oh, I can't make it. I really wanted to go to that specifically to see Gore Guts and Blood Incantation though, because like Gore Guts doesn't tour the States like that often.
Right.
I mean, they're kind of rarer to see, and all my homies that like saw them were just like, oh, they're fucking amazing. I was like, God damn it. Like, when's the next time they're going to be back? You know,
they were. And so was fucking Blood Incantation.
Yeah, I've never seen Blood Incantation either, and they're one of my favorite like new wave death metal bands, just kind of in like a category of their own, you know. You can't really compare them to anybody.
Yeah, they're so fucking atmospheric, dude. It's great.
Yeah, everybody's giving them shit for their new electronic album and then shit, Time Wave Zero or whatever.
Yeah.
I actually dug it. I think it's a pretty ballsy move to just not even, you know, like put something out that you know most of your fan base is gonna be like, what the fuck is this? We're like, we're doing whatever we want, bitch, like get used to it.
you know, I think for a band, I think that needs to be, you know, we're gonna do whatever we want regardless. But you're right, for someone to step so far out of the fucking box is like, whoa.
I can't name a single other band that would be that ballsy to do that. Honestly.
Metallica.
I mean yeah, right. They're trying to be accessible, I guess. That's a different thing. But
I don't know if they were trying to be accessible as much as like, you know, who they had producing was such, you know, it was a fucking left turn for them, right? Because Bob Rock didn't come in until the Black Album, and then, you know, you look at a lot of the shit post Black Album, and it's like, what?
Yeah. I think Metallica's best record ever was their cover album, for sure.
Which one?
I don't know. Garage Inc.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That Black Sabbath cover they did went hard as fuck, for real.
Yeah, there were some really good songs on that, but I'm a, like, my favorite Metallica album's Justice.
Yeah, no, I'm completely kidding. Fuck that.
I know. No, like that album, it really isn't that bad. Of course, I'm a little bit older, you know. So like Bob Seger's Turn the Page, it was really, really different. And I grew up in Detroit, so like Bob Seger was all around all the time. So it was nice hearing it a little heavier. And then, you know, I fucking love Thin Lizzy. So when they were doing Whiskey by the Jar, is like, holy fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Thin Lizzy fucking rules for sure. I don't care what anybody says.
I don't think anyone talks any shit about him because they're fucking badass.
Right. I would hope not.
Yeah. So if you guys had the opportunity to open for like one band for a month, what band would that be?
Suffocation.
Dude, I think that's agreed upon. So fucking bad though. Like they're the tightest band in the world.
Oh yeah, they would.
How can you like open for that? Like it would absolutely just destroy my self-esteem opening for that band, but definitely like when we're tighter and better, like yes. Suffo for sure. Really, I thought you were gonna say Acacia Strain, brother. That's surprising.
I mean, yeah, that'd be fun too. I'd love to do that. I'd love to open for Acacia Strain for a month.
That's like your life goal, I thought.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't know. Yeah, I guess I would love to go on the road with fucking Guar for a month. That would be fun as fuck, you know, just because of, I don't know, watching their show every night. It would be just fucking tits, you know.
Yeah, you'd end up being one of their slaves.
Yeah, yeah. That would be fucking sick. That would be better than playing in a band, honestly. Having that as a full-time job, you're just fucking Guar's stunt guy or whatever. That'd be fucking sick. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think most of the people that do that shit all do other stuff. You know, like one of the people who was in the band, I had a conversation with, and they don't make a lot of money at all. You gotta have another gig. Like they do, there are so many moving pieces to Guar that it takes a lot of fucking money.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Those people that are like doing, you know, they're slaves or they're probably like roadies too. They're probably fucking selling merch. They're probably doing fucking everything.
They're in other bands. They're local bands, shit like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who was it? Don Slater from Battlecross was, when they did a tour with him, he ended up being one of their slaves.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So it's literally other bands that are on the tour package. They just have to do it. That's so fucking funny. That's awesome.
Yeah, so
experience.
You could be fucking, you open for Guar and be part of the show.
Yeah, that sounds like the best gig, honestly. I mean, after a few nights it'd probably get pretty fucking old. But like maybe not a full month, but a few shows with Guar.
A few shows. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how they always do it, but I know Don was super excited to fucking do it, and that dude is such a badass fucking bass player. Jesus Christ.
Oh yeah.
All right, so we have Guar and Suffocation and or the Acacia Strain.
I would love to go on definitely Devourment too. Devourment for sure. I kind of just started getting into them recently, but like I don't know, their shows like go so fucking hard. That just because, like, I don't know, knowing we're playing in front of a bunch of Devourment fans, you know, that are going to go hard as fuck, like, that would be some good peace of mind for the whole tour, you know what
Hell
I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, for sure, for sure.
200 Stab Wounds as well, that would be fun. They always have those hype crowds for them, and I'm very jealous about that. And we opened for them once, and I remember before the show, a buddy of mine told me that they were kind of like stuck up assholes the one time he met them, and you hear from other people they're kind of stuck up assholes. I'm like, huh, I wonder if that's true. And we did not play a good show. That was not one of our best shows opening up for them. But still, even though we sucked that night, after the show they were hanging out with us, smoking outside the joint. I was talking football with their bass player. They were the chillest, coolest dudes. I would love to talk Browns football with those guys for a month and just hang out with them. Really great guys. And yeah, they know how to hype a crowd up.
Hell yeah. Yeah, they always put on a really good fucking show too.
Yeah, no ego at all. They're just super fucking
Yeah, cool. No ego. My buddy was lying.
Yeah. Yeah, who the fuck said that? I've never heard anybody talk shit about the Savins.
That's funny. He yeah. probably heard through the grapevine. Oh, they're stuck up assholes.
Yeah. Yeah, shit gets misconstrued like that, you know, and people just keep spreading rumors.
For sure.
Someone probably tried selling them some like really, really bad drugs and they're like, no, thank you. And they're like, oh, fuck you guys, you're assholes.
You don't want my fucking fentanyl laced heroin. Get away from me, you fucker. Like, what? Fuck. Dickheads.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. So I know you're not in a hurry to release the new stuff. Do you have a timeline to start recording it?
Well, we have a lot of downtime. Well, next month, April, we're kind of just playing one show. In Green Bay with a bunch of homies. Shout out Funerary Outlook, Ruined Dweller, Choke. That's going to be a good ass fucking show. And then we're just kind of laying low until we get really fucking busy in May. We just got a new show offer today. I'm not allowed to talk about it yet, but it's like two really fucking, really good bands at X-Ray Arcade. That's all I'm going to say. But be on the lookout for that if you're in the Milwaukee area for sure. And then we got a Ohio run in May too. Oh, actually we're hitting up Louisville area. It's like Jefferson, Indiana, which is like basically
Jeffersonville. You're going to wrong side.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Like the only venue there.
Well, the Alcove is another one.
Oh, okay. Got you. I've never played there, so I'm not sure, but
yeah,
we're doing that. And the day before we're playing at Legends in Cincinnati.
Okay.
With like Scab Hag, Casket Born, Dark Druid, like a bunch of bands. And then we're doing the Vio tour. So I'm like, it's looking like the rest of the year is going to be busy as fuck for us. So I'm just really trying to utilize the month we have off, or, you know, one show in, just to kind of just get a demo going. Probably just have to use an electronic kit for Brevin. Cause
I just bought an electronic kit today.
Oh, you did?
Hell a lot yeah. of money, and I'm not proud of it.
Oh. Your sacrifice is appreciated.
Whatever yeah. you can do to make it fucking work.
Right. But we're actually going to be recording the demo with Hayden from Illusion of Fate, actually, because he does production and stuff as well. And I'm completely trust him to, like, he knows our sound. You know, he's been seeing us play for, you know, years now. So I think his vision and our vision will definitely be compatible for, like, what, you know, we want to present for the demo and stuff.
Cool.
So.
Yeah, it always helps when you're fucking friends, you know?
Yeah, right, yeah. But yeah, hopefully by April it's at least recorded. I know we're going to write shit after the demo's recording, like, oh, fuck, I wish we would have put that on it, you know? But it's just like, we're not going to have free time to record really after that, so just kind of have to pause it and get it done, so.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, the goal with the demo is basically, we've been talking with, talked to a couple record labels in the past, and our goal is with this demo is to put it out for the labels to see, or just record the demo, give it to the labels, see if anyone wants to invest in promoting us, see if anyone's willing to give us something that we can agree to. If so, great. Then we can give them a full album, including the demo. And if we don't see anything that we like, we'll just put it out as an EP.
Can I?
Label offer, and it was pretty, like, you know, it sounded good on paper, but then when you look at the fine print, it's like, oh, never mind, you know what, like, I mean, that's the thing, you got to be super diligent about it. Like, we weren't about to just jump at the first thing we got, you know.
I'm gonna tell you guys, right, like, you listen to a lot of the old heads that have been doing this a minute, and Jimmy Bauer is one that I reference a lot, because I talked to, like, when I was talking to him with I Hate God, what they do is they pay for everything for the fucking, the recording and all that. Yeah. So they own everything. It's their vision. And then they license it to labels.
Yeah.
Right. And that allow, what that does for you guys is that One, it doesn't put you in the hole to anyone. You have complete creative control over the album. So there's no, you need to change this or any bullshit like that. Like it's all you. And at the end of the day, you guys own everything. A lot of times those labels, what they do is you sign away your publishing rights. So you're giving publishing rights to the fucking label so they can license it. And it ends up hurting the band in the long run.
Yeah. That's definitely a really smart strategy. I'm pretty sure Blood Incantation does the same thing. I was watching like an interview with like Paul from Blood Incantation. I think he said that's what they do too. Like they pay for all their production, and that way, you know, they're not tied in and, you know, with one label for the rest of their career, and they can do whatever they want with their material. But honestly, like to have that freedom, paying for production, not that big of an investment, honestly, like well worth it. You know what I mean? Just a drop in the bucket compared to like what your potential royalties could be, you know what
well
I mean?
and to be able to pay for that, the freedom, the creative freedom, so you guys can do whatever the fuck you want, is, you know, that in itself is priceless in my opinion.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I mean, I'm not gonna like name names, but there's a lot of like death metal bands that I was super into when they first came out, just doing whatever they wanted, and then they got signed and now I can tell that they're being steered in a certain direction to be more like radio friendly. You know what I mean? And I just don't want to be one of those bands, you know, that would just defeat the purpose of why we're doing this. You know
right.
what I mean? Why would I want that? You know, I wouldn't want to go on the road and play some shit I don't fuck with, you know, that sounds terrible. So
yeah, I mean, if you're gonna do that, you may as well be in a fucking cover band.
Yeah,
we might as well make money doing it by being a cover band.
I'd
rather work a day job than be in a cover band.
Damn right, damn right.
Yeah, that's
I did the
fun.
Cover band route. I did the cover band route right out of high school. Like the first year out of high school, I was playing with cover bands and I was making money to be able to live on my own and everything. Not have a day job, but after a year of doing it, man, it was daunting on my soul and I could not do it anymore.
Yeah.
Fuck all that. All right. So Brevin, Ben, I'm going to say we're coming to an end. I greatly appreciate you guys taking time out of your night to chat with me. I think we've had a pretty fucking killer conversation and, I'm looking forward to seeing all the content that comes from this. I'm looking forward to seeing all the stuff that happens to you guys, right? Keep grinding.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having
us, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, man. And looking forward to seeing you at the Louisville shows if you come out, or the Black Circle one. So
for sure. Yeah. Well, and I might do Legends too, because Legends is it's like, that's why I like Louisville. It's an hour and a half to Cincinnati, 2 hours to Indianapolis. So to do those three would be fucking fantastic.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. No, the lineups for all those are fucking sick. So.
Hell yeah. Will you send those to me?
Oh, the flyers? Yeah. Yeah, I got you. Appreciate
cool.
It, man.
All right, guys. Have yourself a great night.
You too, man. Really appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Hell yeah. See ya.